knows where, who knows where.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee. And I love those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire, and thank you for joining me once again. Hope you've had a absolutely brilliant week. Counting down to Christmas, I can't believe it. I'm starting to panic a little bit, running out of time and not quite enough money. So, it's a bit of a problem. Never mind, we'll get there. So, do you have any special family traditions regarding Christmas? We used to be, years ago, you know, caught up in that whole, you know, giving presents and all the rest of it. But I always used to maintain you give something that to someone they don't like, they don't want, they don't need, and that you can't afford, which seems to be rather ridiculous. So we've, in our family, which a lot of families do now, we just do the Kris Kindle. You buy one present and it might be to the value of about $15 or $20. Put it in the middle, and it's actually really quite fun. We did it last year and all sat around in a circle. And if somebody likes the present that you got better than the present that they've got, they could actually steal it off you. I think you're allowed to do that once. It was very, very funny, so we had a great time. The only people who get presents, of course, are the children, and just little things, because, I mean, let's face it, children today have far too many toys, and my own grandchildren included. Okay, today we're going to talk about the fantastic weekend that we just had last week, and that was a combination of two things: the March for Life in Wellington through the streets of the capital, and also at the same time that was going on all around the country, there were groups of people. Mainly they were in churches, but some people were up hills or beside beaches, and some people even just in the privacy of their own home. And we even had one family who were touring the South Island, and they said they were going to stop at 3 o'clock wherever they were, and the six of them were going to pray the rosary. So, absolutely fantastic. I was very, very fortunate that I was able to travel to Wellington with the Family Life International, with their Gianna's Choice Mobile Life Centre, which is, it's like a big motorhome, brand new, which has been specially kitted out. And it's like a mobile pregnancy centre. We do pregnancy tests, we've got an ultrasound, we can do counselling there. And it's a great asset to the organisation. It's also fantastic, a tool for going into schools, and we've been into a couple of high schools in the last few months, and great response from the senior students. Really fantastic. One of them in a boys' school, I won't say which one, and I was in the Life Centre van and someone else was in the library, and we divided the class in half and then we swapped over halfway through the period. And so there were six classes, we had 12 groups. And after the very first talk, I said to the male teacher, "So how was that?" And I actually said to him, "Is there anything I can add?" He said, "Yes, that was good, but you need to talk about pornography." So for the next 11 classes that I had, half classes, I talked about pornography and about marriage and chastity and all those sorts of things. Because if you can get young people today on the right path, then you can actually avoid abortion. And that's what we're all about. It's a pro-life organisation. Even contraception, what they don't even realise, that if you're taking the pill, it's actually an abortifacient. So if you're taking it long enough, you have probably had little mini abortions along the way. So fantastic response from the boys. I absolutely love doing that. Anyway, March for Life started at 2 o'clock on Saturday. Beautiful weather. It was sunny. It wasn't too hot. Wasn't too cold. Wasn't warm. For Wellington, that was incredible. And we started in the morning, which was very special. We went to Mass, and it just so happens that particular date, the 8th of December, is the anniversary of the founding of the Wellington Diocese. So every year on that date, the diocese is consecrated to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. So when we were in Mass, a very, very full Mass on a Saturday morning, the consecration was read out. And also again on the Sunday. Normally it's only done once in the cathedral, but because the cathedral is undergoing work, every church in the diocese was asked to do that consecration. So that was a very special blessing. Now, I'm not sure whether Family Life International, when they started the March for Life last year, actually knew that that was a very, very special day for Wellington. So it's a double blessing. Now, the Divine Mercy group came down from Auckland, and if you haven't heard this young group, you really need to go on Facebook and see this group for yourself. It's all over Facebook, the March for Life. So they gave us a concert before we set off at 2 o'clock, and the whole time that we marched slowly through the streets, they were singing, and it was just such a happy and joyous procession. It was really fantastic. They estimate it was probably about 1,200 people, which is double the number of last year, which is great. So maybe next year we could have 4,000. It was an absolute privilege to be there. There were people in wheelchairs, pushchairs, the elderly, the young, all ages, all denominations, all races. It really was a celebration of New Zealand coming together and celebrating the dignity of life and promoting that from conception to natural death. So that was absolutely fantastic. We arrived, it only took about an hour, at Parliament Grounds, and a stage was set up, and the Divine Mercy group then gave a concert, probably about 10 items. Absolutely fantastic. That was really, really, the crowd was enthralled. And they had to leave pretty much straight after that because they caught a bus and then they went straight to the airport and flew straight back to Auckland. While they were doing that, two MPs who were pro-life and who were on the march gave a speech, which were very, very good, followed by a lady who I'm not quite sure where she comes from, but she was excellent as well. And then after that, Michael handed me the microphone, and I wasn't quite ready for it because it was time to do our rosary. But it would have been nice to have a little bit of a break between the end of the March for Life and our rosary, because they really, in one way, they were together, but in one way, we were not piggybacking on the March for Life. We were just going to go off in a little corner of Parliament Grounds, and we had a megaphone and everything ready to do that. So, unfortunately, I was on the stage. Second problem, I said to Michael, so where are the resources? Because I put the box with all the resources. I had a whole lot of lovely souvenir cards to give out, but I had 200 printed programs of the Rosary Prayer Program that we were going to pray. We had two hymns. We had Immaculate Mother, because it was the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and we had the National Anthem, all five verses, and the Māori verse as well. And then we also had Kawaiata, that beautiful hymn to Our Lady. Plus we had St. Pope John Paul II's Daily Prayer for Life, and that was broken up into two for the beginning prayer. Then we did the Joyful Mysteries, and then we were going to finish with the second half of the prayer. However, couldn't find the box, and that was a shame. So we finally worked out that the box must have gone to the airport. So what can you do? So we had a wonderful priest from Pius the Tenth from Whanganui who had indicated a month or so ago that he would lead the rosary. So I just said to him, look, the March for Life, they finished on the national anthem and there was no point doing back-to-back national anthems. So I said, can we just switch our program and start with Immaculate Mary? So that's what he did. We only had one verse, but that was all right. I think he was French or Belgium, and so probably in English he may not have known any more verses, but it was okay. So then when we did the rosary, he gave a beautiful commentary between each decade. It really was actually lovely. So he may not have done that if we had the other prayer program. And it was really quite beautiful. And then at the end, we just did one verse of the national anthem, and that was fine. So we probably had around about 150 people, some kneeling, some sitting, some standing and praying the rosary. So someone said to me, oh, that might be a first for Parliament Ground. I'm sure it isn't, but it might be one of the largest rosaries that they've had so far. I imagine that last year when they did the Voice for Life, or the March for Life, and it was Family Life International, and of course it was a Catholic march at that stage, there would be many people in the grounds praying the rosary. So I don't think it was the first. But the beautiful thing was we, from the rosary team, were encouraging everyone to go to Wellington. Please go to Wellington and be on the march. However, if you can't be on the march, then gather in parish groups or in holy places, wherever, and pray the rosary at the same time. So officially it was 3 o'clock, but we had people starting at 9:30 in the morning. We had some people at 1 o'clock, some people at 2 o'clock, and then our final one, which of course was around about 4:30. So it was almost like a wave of prayer, and it was a very, very powerful witness, I can tell you. So we had about 75 registered places all around the country, from Kaitaia in the north and right down to Gore in the south, and as I said, 75 locations. However, I'm constantly hearing of other groups who also met in churches, but they hadn't registered and they still got together and they still prayed. For example, I hear that 15 people met on the steps of the St. Vincent's Church in Milford, and they just prayed there with our Father Bugler, and so that would have been a rather beautiful thing. I hear that there was a group in Cambridge and they hadn't registered and they prayed in their church. There was one group registered in Tauranga at Te Puna, but two other churches, Catholic churches in Tauranga, also came together and prayed. There was another lovely lady. She had a small group in Waimauku, but she had given to one of the people that she takes communion to, an elderly person who's very sick. And so she gave her a flyer a couple of weeks ago. And unbeknown to her, the sick lady got her sister, and in their home they prayed the rosary at 3 o'clock. And as I said earlier, we had two registrations on Saturday morning. One was from the Hall family from Kaponga in Taranaki, a farming family, and they said, we're very busy at 3 o'clock, but this is just way too important not to do. It's fantastic. And then there was also another family who said it was no point in registering, but they just wanted to let us know that they were travelling around the South Island, somewhere near Dunedin, and they were just going to pull over on the side of the road at 3 o'clock and they were going to pray. So we've just heard this sort of thing over and over. Silverdale wasn't registered, and they had, I think, 30 or 50 people, and they prayed for an hour. And everyone said that they really enjoyed the prayer program. And it was simple, but it was to the point, and they loved it. And everyone's asking us, are we going to make this an annual event? Yes, let's hope we do. So some of the places we had, Christchurch, we had about four locations there. In fact, the night before, Friday night, an Anglican man rang me and he said, I'm an Anglican, but I want to join together and I want to pray the rosary with you. And I said, fine, absolutely. And he said he's a high Anglican and he lived in Christchurch. So luckily I knew where the four places were and I mentioned St. Albans. And he said, oh, is that the oratory of a lady of perpetual succor? I said, yes, that's right. So he said, oh, I think I'll go there. So I said, well, if you do, make sure you introduce yourself to the leader of the group, who is Dan. And, of course, Dan is the brilliant website designer. If you haven't seen our website yet, even though it's been, we're going to leave the website there, and it is www.rosarycrusade.co.nz. Check it out. It's absolutely beautiful. So we had several non-Catholic people who said that they were going to join up and pray the rosary with us. I had only one negative email about the whole thing, and it was in, I won't say from where, and they said they didn't like the use of the term crusade, and they said it showed a complete ignorance and insensitivity to the atrocious history of the Catholic Church. And this is a Catholic that said this to me. And he said it denotes a them and us situation, that someone's the enemy. And very interesting, because originally we were called coast to coast, like Poland, like Ireland, like the US, like the UK. And originally that was going to be coast to coast, New Zealand or something like that. But when we went to register the domain name, we couldn't, because every derivative of that had been taken. And, of course, we've got the coast-to-coast race. We've got lots of coast-to-coast things in New Zealand. So we registered rosarycrusade.co.nz, so that kind of stuck. However, if you go to our website page, the opening homepage, you will actually see coast-to-coast. However, we make no apologies for using the term crusade, because, you know, this is a battle. We live in very, very difficult times. It seems like society is disintegrating. In fact, in one of the campsites that we stayed in Taupo, we've got such a beautiful van that attracted a lot of attention, and a man across the way came over and, you know, we invited him in and showed him. And he just immediately started talking about what's happening to New Zealand. The country is going to wreck and ruin. And so, yes, there is a battle out there, and it's a battle for hearts, minds and souls. And we have to be on the forefront of that battle. We have to stand up. And Our Lady has given us the tool and the weapon, and it is the rosary, the Holy Rosary. And she told the children that she has made it even more efficacious, more powerful, particularly for these times. So I make no apology for calling it or being called a crusade. We had one other criticism, and I wrote to 11 international Catholic media outlets and wrote a small article, each slightly different, pertaining to that country, whatever. And so out of the 11, we had two replies. One was the Scottish Catholic Observer, and they thanked us very much and said they'd put the article in their letters to the editor. And the other one was Church Militant in the US. And, of course, we all know Michael Voris and the team, so that was really great that they decided to do an article about it. And the young girl who I liaised with, we lots of emails backwards and forwards, and she really did her homework. She, half of the article had nothing to do with what I sent her, and she really went online and got facts and figures and dates and times. But anyway, she titled it something about, you know, New Zealand fighting the culture of death. And even though we had never discussed that term, and it wasn't in my article, when I saw that, I thought, I bet somebody complains about that. Because when St. Pope John Paul II was alive, certainly that was a very well-known title, The Culture of Death. And it is a culture of death. If we can call killing, I don't know how many millions of babies over the last umpteen years, if that's not a culture of death, and call it a right, something's gone very, very dreadfully wrong. Anyway, so I had an email from somebody, and they said that they strongly objected to the term culture of death. So anyway, our Rosary team decided not to reply to either of those. There really wasn't much point, so we just left it and, don't really want to get into that debate particularly. Now, as far as the Rosary went, we had a lot of priests supporting us, but it was very, very much a lay-led initiative, and most of the leaders out of the 75 registered, 65 would have been lay-led, so there would have been about 10 priests. We had the Carmelites, we had the Little Sisters of the Poor in Ponsonby and also in Dunedin, and we had a lot of other priests. They were doing adoration, they were doing litany of the saints, all sorts of things they were adding on, and I thought that was absolutely beautiful. So we had this wave of prayer throughout the day. So I think everyone was really, really happy. I think there was about 100 people in Pukekohe, and the man that organised or was the group leader there, he was absolutely buzzing. He said it was brilliant. He just felt so excited. It was just a very, very memorable occasion. And so, yeah, everyone was thanking the Rosary team very much for what they did. And it was a pretty small team, but then a lot of people came in and helped in all sorts of ways, you know, spreading the word, you know, promoting it, reposting it, and all sorts of things. So it was definitely a team effort all around the country, because whoever the leaders were, it was really up to them to then promote their own group, and they did. So that was absolutely fantastic. We couldn't have hoped that it would go any better. So next year, another Rosary Crusade. Definitely I'd like to see it. One thought for me, what would it be about? One thing that I would throw into the hat would be about the family rosary, because up until about 50 years ago, like, families did gather every night and they did pray the rosary, and that habit died pretty much around the time of Vatican II, also around the time that contraception came in, the sexual revolution, and the disintegration of marriage. You know, if you don't have children, well, you don't need to get married, you can just live together. So you can just see this whole degeneration of society began at that point. So as Father Peyton has always said, the family that prays together stays together. That is so true. Well, I don't know where the time goes, but we've come to the end of the program again. We'll do a little bit more about this next week.